Welcome to Zuber Clock with your host, Tessie Anthony de Nassau. This podcast brings you enlightening discussions with leading experts and public figures directly to your ears.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Zuber Clock with your host, Tessie Anthony de Nassau. It has been a long time, dear friends, that you haven't heard from me just because, you know, life happens, a lot of work, we're having all the teenagers home and baby and so on. But nonetheless, I am still in search all the time for amazing, amazing guests for my Zuber Clock. And we will be starting the new season now. I have a fantastic speaker for you today, Stephanie de Sarasaga Bilbao. Is that right, Stephanie?
Yes, perfect.
So, Stephanie, welcome. It's so nice to have you here.
I'm so excited to speak to you and to have this wonderful opportunity together.
Well, it is really, the pleasure is all mine. I know you're really, really busy. Let me introduce you briefly. And normally I don't read bios, but I think your bio will help to put more context to the whole complexity of your being and what you are trying to do, which I think is just incredible. You're also a woman that it's the first time you're actually coming out in the public the way you do now for specific reasons that we will be discussing. And hence, this is kind of like a coming out for you in Europe and for all of our listeners around the world to get to know you, Stephanie. So Stephanie de Sarasaga Bilbao grew up in Charlotte in the US. Her current endeavor is running for mayor of Charlotte to improve the lives of all people living there, the Charlottians. Did I say that right? Perfect. Yeah. She's the granddaughter of Prince Alfredo de Sarasaga Bilbao and heir of Prince Alexis de Sarasaga Bilbao. The family was persecuted almost to extinction by totalitarian regimes and is related by blood or marriage to many European royal families. Her grandmother was Lydia Garcia de Leon y Avellaneda of the prominent and respected Mexican political family Garcia de Leon. Respecting the path of her ancestors by carving her own way as a woman in business, she is one of the few women-led millennial family offices in general and who champions economic development and societal resilience hand in hand. She has worked to benefit numerous communities initiatives, both locally and worldwide. She has assisted nonprofit organizations to raise millions for infrastructure and development of new programming, such as Generations with Northern Children's Home in Philadelphia, which worked to end the cycle of poverty for young mothers and their newborns. She also played a part in overhauling poverty-related services in the US and Israel. She helped develop and evaluate violence prevention programs, combated drug and alcohol abuse, and influenced policy benefiting economic growth and workforce development. These efforts also focus on pushing for quality employment and the importance of partnering with the skilled trades. She is also a skilled dealmaker and coalition builder. As an active leader in the oversight of the entire direct investment pipeline, she turns organizational contrast into opportunity and has led financial negotiations worth millions with top multinational media and real estate companies. Stephanie was named one of the most influential women of Israel due to her work innovating the fashion industry of Tel Aviv and strengthening international bonds and trades. She is also a cultural ambassador for Le Pays Charolais-Brionnais. In her off time, she loves hiking and sports outside. When not doing that, she dedicates time to preserving cultural and historical memory. Which is fitting considering Charlotte is fourth in nation of the preservation of history. She lives in Charlotte with her husband, a police officer, and her daughter, Ella. Welcome, Stephanie. It is an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time and thought that you put into all of this. So I can't wait to get started.
Absolutely. Well, I have so many questions for you. And I know we have always, it's just such a restricted time. So I will get started straight away with the present. And then we go back a little bit into the past. But the present, I think, is the most relevant and also pretty incredible what you're trying to do there. You want to become the mayor of Charlotte. How did that happen, dear Stephanie? And also, how is it going? Because as I know and as I understand, the elections are coming up. So how are you feeling? And how is it for a woman to be in US politics at the moment?
Right. So I'm running for mayor of Charlotte because I did grow up in Charlotte. I left to go live in those places we talked about, Israel and Philadelphia, and came back here and wanted to bring all of those things. But I returned years ago, been here for a long time now. And I looked around and I just felt, how can I serve better my community? And I looked around and there's crumbly infrastructure. It's a very big safety issue. And we're going through incredible transition as a city. We are the new New York City in every way, except potentially, honestly, I think better. We can be better. We can really bring the best of new and old and have a rebirth in the city and be a light to the entire nation, because we're all going through so much right now, you know, coming out of COVID and still dealing with that. That's why I decided to put forward myself. I absolutely did not start with, I want to run for mayor. People don't usually wake up going, I've never run for political office. Mayor sounds good. No. About 8 months ago, I thought, okay, what can I do to really change things? And for me, it's about listening to communities. So I just went and spoke to as many different communities as I could talk to. Well, what's important to you, you know? And it was what's important to all of us: housing, safety, schools. And I kept hearing this from all parts of Charlotte, regardless of race or socioeconomic. It was really what was unifying everyone. And I said, okay, maybe I'll run for council. And then I realized, you know, growing up here, a lot of people don't know the powers of the mayor of Charlotte is to set the agenda. And I felt that, okay, now that I've done my listening to the community, I could put forward a very specific agenda that could get things done very quickly for people. So I decided mayor, and I built it from the ground up, you know, my campaign. And right now it is early voting. So it's very exciting to see people coming to the polls and voting and getting out there. So we're very confident, actually. The message has been well received.
So tell me, Stephanie, you know, as a daughter of a politician myself, and for my first life being exposed into politics quite a lot with my ex-father-in-law, the Grand Duke of Luxembourg, and everything that I have been doing, you know, I studied politics and institutions and have been working with the institutions forever, also through my military career. I have seen that it is not always so trivial when you're looking at policy, actually the laws that come from them and from voting into these into these new innovations, right? Into these changes. How far do you think you can really go? Because as we talked on the phone as well, you know, it's one thing, I want to do this and these are my promises to the people of Charlotte, and this is where you actually think you can go. So what are your promises? What will you do different when you compare to your competition? And how do you think, is it going to work? And how hard will it be? And what do you need for help?
So I absolutely agree. You know, I also come from a political background, and you really have to know how to write the policies very specifically and do very simple, easily and quickly effective things. For me, I'm very focused on safety and housing and economic development. Those are huge things, huge, you know, categories unto themselves. However, I know that with just a little pushing forward very quickly, tying everything together, I can deliver the following to the best of my abilities. Of course, we never know the future. But I can deliver a safer city, because right now I want to build a coalition between the city and the surrounding counties and the smaller municipalities. And many of them have already signed on with me. They feel that this will immediately bring down violence. We need to recruit more of first responders, which is fire, police, and medic. That's a very simple thing. The city has put no effort into it whatsoever. So that's something we can turn on immediately. That will take at least 3 to 6 months, but I have about a 100-day plan that I want to execute. And I believe within the first 3 months, we're going to see reductions in violence when I execute this plan. Because part of what I want to do is after school, evidence-based violence prevention programs that has consistently shown in all data that will bring things down within 3 to 6 months. I implemented that in Philadelphia. I've seen that work in Israel. It's a very simple thing. It doesn't sound as flashy as most sort of policies, but is incredibly effective to bring down violence. So that's number one, is bring down violence. Transportation, we don't have a working transportation system right now, unfortunately. The infrastructure simply isn't there. And for me, and you probably know this concept, shared smaller bus routes that can go deeper into neighborhoods that are not necessarily a huge infrastructure spend. They don't have this right now in Charlotte. And that's completely life-changing for people, you know, to be able to get to work on time, because right now the current infrastructure simply doesn't work for people. So that's something I would implement immediately. That's within 3 to 6 months. So for me, it's very much, what can I implement within 3 to 6 months? Because I agree with you. Many, many people that come to these roles maybe don't understand really how policy works and coalition building. And I believe that my previous experience in business and being an executive paired with the work that I've done will get these things done within 3 to 6 months.
Wow. Yeah.
As I don't know if that answers your question.
I will. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, it's with the time frame we have, you know, we cannot dive in too much, but it definitely shows where your focus will be. And I think that is really important, because when you hear politicians, often they promise 10 million things and then they get done maybe one or two, because the term is so small. And my father always said that. He said, you know, you have such a limited time and you really need to focus on, you know, who does what. And as you say, you know, a coalition, a cooperation between different parties and people and institutions and businesses and just the whole ecosystem to get everyone's buy-in is really key. Because if everyone takes a chunk of the responsibility, like kind of like a piece of a puzzle, then you can create a picture together of an optimized and more secure Charlotte, as you're saying. So I think that is definitely a good way forward. And I will follow you and see how it's going over the time. With the question then, how is it to be a woman in politics in the US or in Charlotte as well? Because you know, as of our phone conversation as well that we had prior to this recording, you know, you said there's a lot of killing and you know, shootings and all of other kinds of violences. And also for, you know, as you say, with the schools and everything. So it has already penetrated the system with the young people. So how is it to be a woman in such a kind of like a hostile and harsh environment at times? You know, I know that there's also beautiful things, because every city has also their beautiful things. And, you know, London is extremely violent as well at times, right? When stabbings happened and everything, you know, but you cannot just restrict yourself on thinking that that is all, right? But just looking at that aspect for a moment, how is it for you as a woman? You know, were you supported straight away? Was it difficult for you? Also running, it's very expensive, you know, to find the funds to do it. Did you have a lot of support by other male friends, colleagues, or also strangers, you know? And have you experienced violence or intimidation because you're running as mayor already?
Very good questions. I'm going to break that up, because there were a couple of things I heard and I really want to get to them. Okay. So, it is not safe, unfortunately, in the city right now. And specifically as a woman, I speak to many people that are fearful, which is one of the main reasons why I was like, okay, I need to run. I did go through a lot of things. I went through air raid sirens in Israel. I have been through things personally myself when I was younger, because I was born to a political family where, when I was 9 years old in Mexico, I was my family was taken hostage for a day due to our positions in government. So for me, this is the least scary thing that I can do, because I feel like at those times I felt helpless. You know, when the bombs are raining down on you, you can't do anything, right? Or when you're in a situation being taken hostage, you can't do anything, especially as a child. But for me, I'm like, this is what I can do. I can come out and say, yes, things are not safe right now, but we need to, as a community, say together in one voice, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to take this. And that's how I've approached it with that. In terms of running as a woman, it has been very exciting to come forward and be put forward. I won my primary. It's the first time that a Mexican, I'm also Jewish as well, Jewish woman, a Mexican or a Jew, had won the primary for either party for the mayoral, campaign. Incredibly exciting. Is there a glass ceiling in politics? I'm not focusing on that. I'm just trying to get my message out as much as possible. When people who are more traditional will say in their mindsets that I don't agree with, I can usually sway them pretty quickly by sitting down. I'm not someone to trifle with. And I think they see that pretty quickly. And they've become some of my, larger vocal supporters and have rethought their own values, in terms of seeing me as a person getting my voice out there. There is something I chose to do, which apparently no politician had ever done, which was I attended multiple vigils for people who had been murdered in the city over the past couple of months. I can't count how many funerals I've been to. And I was told by the community, no one's ever come, because they're scared that something might happen to them at these events. And for me, it's just so natural to go out into the people and be with them in times like this, even if you can't do anything at the moment, to at least show your presence. And that's something that people aren't seeing in the city in general for the mayor's position. And so I approach that position very differently. So have I had threats? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I move forward. It's what you have to do. I believe, because I'm in America, however naive that might be, that the threats will not amount to what I had to go through in Mexico or other countries when families are actively, political publicly. So I have things in place to keep me safe. But being a politician, you open yourself up to that.
Yeah, wow. Growing up in Luxembourg, it's quite safe, and then even London, yes, with the military, I experienced some activities, but I cannot imagine, also, as you said, as a young child, when you were 9, to be kidnapped with your family and experiencing that. And now as well, following, your calling to be creating a better community for others, that there's still people who would like that to not take place is just... as you say, you move forward and you kind of like, you just take the energy instead of worrying, and you put that energy to where it belongs, right? Helping others, creating a better community for everyone, also for your daughter, right? And for your husband as a police officer, he's risking his life every day as well, right? And, it's really commendable. I will be thinking about you, because, here in Switzerland, we don't have any of that. There's not comparable in any way, any crime. We can leave our front door open. You know, you can leave your car on. There's no one who takes anything. No one even locks their bikes here where we live, you know, because no one would take these. They leave the flowers out of the shop when the shop closes. And no one takes the flowers, you know. That is something I cannot imagine that in London, but I can definitely not imagine that where you are right now or in Mexico even. Some friends of mine are from Mexico and the stories I hear from there are crazy. I will be there in February for a wedding. So, yeah.
It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country.
Yes.
And good people. And something, you know, here in Charlotte, it wasn't always like this with the violence. I believe this is temporary and we can get through it if we really quickly address it. You have to name it. Yes, there is violence. We need to deal with it. And here's how we're going to deal with it. So.
No, and that is amazing, you know, and I think, you know, as you have already done so before, you know, community projects is the important thing, because behind every violent act, there is a scar. There's something that happened to that person in his or her past. They were left behind. They fell through the grid. They feel unheard. They feel not understood. And, you know, when you can create a community that is inclusive, right, where everyone feels part of, where they feel like they have opportunities, where people can take care of their families. They have housing, as you say, right? Infrastructure, good medical system, and the things that really matter to build a life, then crime absolutely will go down, right? It's just people out of desperation when these acts happen. And that is definitely, as you say, is something you can fix, if that is a priority of the government. As you say, you know, it hasn't been really so much before, but I really clearly feel, and it sounds like it, that with you, that will change. And I think that is really fantastic. And yeah, I think it's amazing that you put so much love and understanding and also caring into the position that you are in right now. And yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. So tell us what's next now. The elections are happening now, as you say. So what do you need? Like, people who are listening now and maybe who are in the US or people here in Europe or anywhere, you know, what do you need people to do, you know, to support you and also to get to know Charlotte more? What do you want to tell us?
Charlotte is an incredible city. We are number one banking in the country. We are equal to New York right now. It depends what economic journal, you know, you're reading, because most people are coming down from New York, and we have this incredible group of people. It's always been a melting pot, and we have the best sports. We have a football team, a major soccer team, NASCAR. This, under what I want to do, I want to bring all of that up. Get all that entertainment going, because that will generate jobs, that'll create hope, which, you know, helps alleviate a lot of what we were talking about. What people could do is just spread the message of Charlotte. It is a wonderful community. It is a great place to open a business. But, you know, if you're going to bring your businesses, we want it to share the values of our city, the businesses to be able to help the people of the city. And to help, you know, help spread my message as much as possible. You know, I'm running. I am a Republican. I am a moderate and just a traditional Republican in terms of, I believe entrepreneurship is the path out of poverty. But I also believe you need some sort of safety net. I believe in small government. And I'm not as vocal as much in my party right now. That's the majority of my party right now is me, but there are others that are more vocal. And I just want people to know that we are the silent majority and that I chose to put myself forward to do this and to spread the message as much as possible. I mean, Charlotte's an amazing city and I intend to continue to work for Charlotte regardless of what happens with the election, but I feel pretty confident, knock on wood, all of that the message is being heard throughout the city. I would like the message now to be heard everywhere. so that people in the city can see that people are thinking about them and really seeing Charlotte for, you know, the future that it can be.
That is beautiful. Oh, I love it. And so how can people get in touch with you? If they want to hear more, if they have maybe future questions, do you have a social media or do you have a press office where people can contact you?
Yes, I do. I can give that information to you if you like, and you could share it on your social media. And also, I do have a campaign website, which is stephanieforcharlotte.com. And right now I can be reached through that. Just because we are 2 weeks away from the election. So everything else is, even social media, it's not always as responsive, but www.stephanieforcharlotte.com. It's a great way. And I will reach out within 48 hours, whoever contacts me through the contact form there. There's a number there.
Oh, okay. Well, that's even better. No, that's fantastic. Definitely people have heard how to reach you, because I'm sure that people will have questions, maybe even, you know, after the elections, of course, you will have no time now, but maybe after the elections, you know, there's all of these young girls around the world. And, you know, I certainly wanted to be a politician. I always wanted to be a diplomat for Luxembourg before I got married into the royal family. And then after, it was a bit tricky to become a diplomat professionally. But you know, I'm sure there's a lot of other young girls that are like we were, right? Become politician, become a diplomat, get involved into your local communities and, you know, spread, you know, create and build the community in a more active way as a politician and become a spokesperson for your community and your country. So I think that there will definitely be schools as well getting in touch with you to inspire young girls and future leaders, you know, because I think it's fantastic what you're doing. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy as well where you are, also in the US, you know, with the political system right now. And also, as you said before, with the pandemic and we're coming out of that and all of the economic backlashes it had on all of us and certainly the minority communities and everything. So I think you're doing an amazing job. And yeah, I wish you all the best. Before I let you go, there's one question that I ask all of my podcast guests, which is, what has inspired you? Is a book, a podcast, a show, can be recent, can be something really, really forming in your years when you grew up. What is something you would say people should read, watch, or listen that you can share with us?
Wow. Read, watch, or listen. There's so much out there. For me, I feel that I'm a very passionate history person. I think that's because of things that my family went through. And I feel that history is just so integral to understand where we are now. So I advise people to just pick up any biography of anyone that they feel drawn to. I mean, I've read many different biographies from, you know, Malcolm X to Queen Elizabeth to, you know, anything in between. I feel that biographies inspire me incredibly. My daughter has had me watching Harry Potter a lot recently, which I, you know, saw when it first came out, but hadn't really revisited. And I think that they're incredible things that J.K. Rowling was trying to explain, and, you know, via her reflections of history in the early 1930s, she put all of that into the series, if you look at it. And it's a huge commentary, social commentary on the social services system. You know, Harry Potter was an orphan and he was not seen by the system. That's kind of what enabled what happened to him at home to happen to him. So that. And also just, I like French films. So Amelie, anything that's very rich sensory-wise, and cooking, things like that.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, biographies. I've never thought about it like that. it's definitely, you know, to learn from other people's experience, from real people, right? I definitely, yeah, and get a glimpse from what they have done and how you can implement that into your own lives and be inspired by. Definitely makes sense. I will check out which biography I would read, because I have never read a biography, I must say. I love history, but I read a lot of books on, you know, well, woman empowerment and, you know, woman economic growth and so women's sexual health. So that's more my reading list. But yeah, I might look into some bios now that you mentioned it, and see who could inspire me there, because I'm sure there's millions of that out there as well from the past and the present. So, well, I want to say thank you to you for your time. I know you're really busy, so I let you go now. And thank you for the last minute time slot. All the best for the next 2 weeks, and keep us posted, definitely. And share some pictures as well if you want, so that if people ask me about it, I can always share them as well. So thank you, Stephanie. For everyone else listening, please subscribe, like, rate, and comment. Only like that we will reach other people from all over the world. We have been top 5 in several categories in several countries around the world, even top 3 in some. Now there has been a little break, so I need to build that up again. So the more you like, share, comment, and rate, the faster this will go. But I'm sure with guests such as Stephanie, who inspire us to be better and look at the world in a different way and question what is out there to make it better, a better community for everyone, we will succeed. So thank you so much, Stephanie. And yeah, take care. We keep in touch offline.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this Zoom O'Clock. We hope this discussion was insightful and has provoked some new ideas for you. Please share and subscribe. If you'd like to keep in touch with your host, you can find her on Instagram under tessie_from_luxembourg and on Twitter under tessie_de.